Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like Twitter's gone. They accepted the money, and Elon Stalin is taking over, so f*** you, Twitter, and goodbye forever, you insane Q-like forum, or soon to be insane like Q-like forum. Peace out! Bye!
Elon Musk, this is directly to you. Enjoy Twitter. I just deactivated mine. I will not be reactivating it. Enjoy.
I deactivated my account and deleted the app. That's what I think of it. Elon Musk.
Today, Twitter has announced that they've been bought by Elon Musk, or however you say his name. I'm not interested in staying on Twitter anymore because of this, and I think there's a lot of people that are about to leave. So I just wanted to let everyone know that you can find me here. I'm going to also share this on Twitter before I deactivate my account so that anyone who wants to follow me can find me here as well.
Hey, I did a thing today. I deactivated my Twitter account. You can too.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, I knew there was going to be some triggering. I didn't realize the magnitude of the triggering that happened after Elon Musk announced that he had purchased Twitter. And people are going bonkers out there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Proudly still on Twitter. And like many other conservatives, within the past, 18 hours, 19 hours or so, many of us have seen our followers actually increase dramatically. We've had almost 1,000 new people that just somehow now follow us. And thank you very much. We appreciate that. At the same time, there's some analysis that a lot of leftists have deleted their Twitter accounts. They're very upset that Elon Musk is, they're either upset because he's African, or number two, because he is an advocate for free speech. And a lot of these folks out there, and this is, there are many conservatives that are shocked. I don't know why all of these people support crackdowns on free speech. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened, and it goes back to a book I wrote, 6 years ago, called Godless America. And in that book, I cited a Pew study. Now, this was in the early days of the millennials. I don't even think they had come up with the term Gen Z yet. So the millennials were all the rage. And Pew Research asked a bunch of millennials, do you believe there should be limitations on free speech? And at the time, and this was about 6 or 7 years ago, at the time, about 40% of millennials, 40% of millennials said, yes, they believe there should be limitations on free speech, and especially speech that would be considered hate speech. Now, the problem with all of this, nobody bothered to say, okay, who gets to decide what is and what is not hate speech? At that time, as you know, social media was still in the primordial ooze phase, they hadn't really thought about fact-checking groups and these Gestapo-type tactics that they now use on all the social media platforms. Nobody really thought about that, except for yours truly, because I wrote a whole chapter about it. And I warned people way back then in Godless America, and you can find it on Google, wherever, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. And that's not the point of this, is to sell books. Well, we do want you to buy the book, but that's not the point of this conversation. The point is to explain why people are behaving the way they are in the aftermath of what should be a great celebration across the fruited plain. And I suggested in this book many years ago that the number 40% was only the beginning, that that number over time would increase exponentially. And the reason why is very simple. Mommy and daddy are not telling their kids to support crackdowns on free speech at home around the supper table. That's not where those conversations are happening. Those conversations are happening, ladies and gentlemen, in public school classrooms. And for years, those conversations went unchecked. So I suspect if you polled millennials today and Gen Zers, you would find that an overwhelming majority actually support crackdowns on speech. And that's why you have all of these MSDNC people freaking out. It's unbelievable how outraged they are. But that's the reason why. Is because they have been trained, they have been brainwashed to believe that there should be crackdowns on free speech. And I don't know where these people are going to go. Somebody suggested Tumblr. I didn't even know Tumblr was still a thing. It was sort of like, what was that, MySpace? They used to call it MySpace. That used to be like a whole thing. And now nobody's there. I mean, maybe nerdy people, I don't know. People who don't have any friends, like Brian Stelter, by the way, the little dwarf king over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thanks, Judge Joe Brown. Stelter was really put off by all of this. Here's what he had to say about it.
Broader question for Twitter, which is, if you get invited to something where there are no rules, where there is total freedom for everybody, do you actually want to go to that party? Or are you going to decide to stay home? And that's a question for Twitter users. Some Twitter users might love the idea that there's going to be absolutely no moderation and no rules at all. Others might not want to be anywhere near that. Am I crazy, Matt?
No, you're right. And what happens to the advertising? I mean, if there's no moderation or little moderation, do the advertisers stay away? What does that do to the business prospects for Twitter itself?
You know, Grace Baker, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think Brian Stelter is one of these guys who never got invited to the party.
Ooh. Yeah, probably, or was left out of the group text.
So wait a second. I was listening to our good friend Tim Van Horn as I was driving in on my commute to our bunker here in Memphis, Tennessee, listening on our flagship radio station, KWAM. Van Horn shared some information I did not know about the Dwarf King.
Oh.
Little Humpty Dumpty. Take a wild guess how old that guy is.
Ooh.
Come on, guess. Just
I'm going to say 49.
49 feet, right, about my age, right?
Yeah.
He's 38 years old.
Oof.
He has had a rough life.
Yeah.
What's the term? Rode hard, put up wet?
I've never heard that. I was just going to say he doesn't age gracefully, no, but I think you put it better than me.
So anyway, Stelter's very upset, as is most of mainstream media. Grace, have you seen a change on Twitter in the past 24 hours?
I've seen a lot more people hopping on Twitter.
It's sort of like... You know, I have to imagine it would kind of like be the rapture happens. And,
yes.
And it's like you're meeting all of these people again for the first time. It's like, oh, what?
Hey,
welcome
buddy.
Back. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
So there's another story here over at MSDNC, folks. And at first I thought this was parody. I could not believe this was actually a legitimate thing, but it turns out we did some research, Grace Baker all over the interwebs, and she said, no, Todd, this actually happened on MSDNC. Ari Melber is the host of The Beat. And, oh, is that cultural appropriation? I think it is. I don't think he's a, well, it may not be. I don't know. Anyway, The Beat is the name of the show on MSDNC. And he was stunned by Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter. And here's what he had to say.
You own all of Twitter or Facebook or what have you. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't even have to be transparent. You could secretly ban one party's candidate or all of its candidates, all of its nominees. Or you could just secretly turn down the reach of their stuff and turn up the reach of something else. And the rest of us might not even find out about it till after the election. Elon Musk says this is all to help people because he is just a free speech, philosophically clear, open-minded helper.
Hello! Hello, Ari! Where have you been? Where have you been, sir, for the past 7 years? Where have you been when Twitter literally removed a president, a presidential candidate from Twitter? Still banned. Ari, where were you, pal, when they were silencing conservatives and knocking people off like Tucker Carlson, our good friends over at Project Veritas, Mark Levin, the list goes on and on and on. Where were you when they were shadow banning? And by the way, we are still shadow banned on Twitter. So you know what? I hope they don't do that to the other side. But part of me says they get what they deserve. They get what they deserve. But Elon Musk, he's a good and generous man. Did I mention he's also an African-American? And this, and maybe, just maybe, and we all know, nobody wants to talk about this, but it's the dirty little secret. We all know the party of racism is, in fact, the Democrat Party. Go all the way back to the Civil Rights Act, ladies and gentlemen. It was Democrats. Democrats who stood in the way of the black man and the black woman getting the right to vote. Not the Republicans, the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them tell you otherwise. So anyway, here we are. And look, I think this is good news. Trump says, yeah, not going to go there. Trump says that the Truth Social is actually has more engagement than all of Twitter combined. Is that true? I don't know. I don't have the access to their analytics. But I can tell you that not a lot of our listeners, not a lot of our followers have actually been able to get on Truth Social just yet. So I hope they get that all worked out. Anyway, why is it that the left is so upset about all of this? It's very simple. They thought they controlled social media, just like they thought they controlled the mainstream media. This is why they hate Newsmax so much. And they don't hate Fox News as much because Fox News is evolving into a mainstream media outlet. And that's happening in slow motion before our very eyes. But that's why they want to shut down Newsmax, and they want to shut down One America News, and they want to shut down us. They want to shut down Breitbart and the Daily Wire. And the reason why is very simple, because we have an audience. We pack a punch. Our engagement numbers are 2 and 3 million people on our social media platforms. We have 1.3 million people who download our podcast. Now, that's out of all the podcasts in America, we're like number 83, number 84 over all the podcasts in America, not just conservative talk, all the podcasts in America. And so they see that, and it makes them nervous because they know that people are tuning in. They're watching Newsmax. They're listening to Todd Starnes' show. They're going to our website. They're downloading our podcast and our newsletter, and that concerns them because they can't control us. I remember something Rush Limbaugh said many years ago as Facebook was just in its infancy and people were launching pages. And Rush said, don't base your business model on a social media platform because you will not be able to control it. And it was brilliant advice, and we did our gut level best to follow Rush's advice, and I'm glad we did that because we are not that reliant upon the social media platforms for all of our traffic and to get our information out there. But the reason why the mainstream media, the reason why the left is so enraged today is because they know they can no longer control the narrative on Twitter. And they know that Twitter, more so than Facebook, is a direct indicator of the culture and politics. And it can literally move the needle unlike any other platform. And they're terrified. They're terrified because they don't control that anymore. And I believe that is a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. What say you? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We have a great show lined up for you today. Our good friend Ralph Reed is going to be dropping by in just a little while. We're going to break down the midterm elections, big debate in Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz going toe-to-toe with his opponents. We're going to dig into that as well. Plus your calls, ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
All right, new survey out there. They asked Americans, hey, what do you think about Elon Musk buying Twitter? This was conducted by Harvard and Harris Polling, and they've been talking to voters on the issue. They started last week before Musk actually agreed to buy Twitter, and it turns out that most Americans believe that the previous owners of Twitter were, in fact, targeting conservatives. 57% of voters say they approve of Elon Musk buying Twitter. That's according to the Harvard-Harris poll. Another 43% said they were opposed to Musk buying the social media platform. By the way, and one of the big arguments from the other side here is, well, we just don't think it's right for a billionaire to go and buy a big social media platform. Oh, you mean like Jeff Bezos? Or Mark Zuckerberg, is that who you're talking about?
Oh, well, now that you put it that way, never mind.
Got to call these people out, folks. Got to get on their faces with the facts. Not fist, facts. So most Americans say that having Elon Musk take over Twitter is actually a good thing. Well, there you go. I've got to share this bizarre story. We have it up on our website, ToddStearns.com. So here's the deal. This is from San Francisco, California, a charter school, the Creative Arts Charter School. There's a teacher, eighth grade teacher, and she was doing a lesson on the Industrial Revolution, and she was explaining to the children how important the cotton gin, the invention of the cotton gin, was to the nation at that time. So up until the invention of the cotton gin, you had to have people out in the fields. And Grace Baker, what were they doing out in the fields?
They were picking the cotton.
They were picking cotton. Not cotton picking, because you're not allowed to say that as a white person.
No, this is true.
So anyway, the teacher brought cotton plants to class so the children could understand how difficult it was. That was a tough job. I mean, you were busting your butt, you were breaking your back, and the cotton plants, they have the sharp edges. So you're always, you're getting bloody fingers. Then you got to pull out all the seeds. It's a horrible job. And so she was illustrating that point because the children, they don't know anything about anything. 24 hours later, teacher out of the classroom, the school district apologizes. They say, oh, we're sorry. They said the teacher violated the school's anti-racist policies. One parent said putting raw cotton in the hands of children evoked hurtful memories. Okay, I wonder how many of those kids who had the hurtful memories were actually wearing T-shirts made out of cotton. Anybody want to take a bet on that? So anyway, people are just in an uproar. Teacher out of the class for 5 weeks. You know, they tell us that cotton is the fabric of our lives. Isn't that what the commercial says? But I think we may have to switch to polyester, Grace Baker. All right, folks, that is the poll, by the way. Is cotton racist? We've got that up on our website, ToddStearns.com. 844-747-8868. You know, I think a lot of white folks pick cotton, too, by the way. Just facts matter, America.
Rates are rising sooner than expected. You're at risk of missing out on significant savings if you don't consider your options now. Folks, I cannot stress this enough. You need to call American Financing and get a free mortgage review today. Inflation is getting worse, debt becoming more expensive. You need to take control. Learn about the custom debts that can help you spend less on your interest or get you out of debt faster. It really could mean up to $1,000 in monthly savings plus tens of thousands long term. Think of how much that can help. Then pick up the phone to learn more. There's no pressure, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees. And if you start soon, you could skip two payments and may close in as fast as 10 days. But only if you choose American Financing. 866-890-9749. That's 866-890-9749 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net. I mean, quite frankly, the school teacher out there in San Francisco, and by the way, this is a liberal school, all right? So we're not talking about a conservative school. But if you missed the story from the last segment, a teacher was suspended for 5 weeks, forced to apologize because she allowed children to touch a cotton ball. She wanted the kids to understand how difficult it was to pick cotton so they would understand. I think that sounds to me like the kind of teacher you would want your kid to learn from. Someone who is bringing the lesson to life. Well, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Faye wants to weigh in on this. And Faye, I understand you used to pick cotton.
I surely did, Todd. We lived in Alabama. My daddy grew cotton, and I'd pick cotton for extra money, and I was small. And he grew watermelons, and he would take my sister and I to a corner, and we'd sell watermelons during the day. He grew peanuts. I've done it all, Todd, and none of it is racist. These people are so crazy.
You know, Faye, I know this because of our family's history growing up in the South. You know, there were a lot of white Southerners that were in those cotton fields alongside blacks picking cotton. We were all just dirt poor.
Amen. And I'm the youngest of seven children, so we did it all. And
I bet you
nothing
did.
Nothing is wrong with it. Nothing is wrong with it.
Now, you know, you triggered somebody when you said watermelons, Faye. That's racist. Fried chicken's racist.
I know it. I've got some cotton stalks in my garage right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Faye, because I believe it was Hobby Lobby. They sell those things. And somebody complained. They were in the store, and they said they saw the cotton, and they were greatly offended.
I worked for this lady for like 17, well, a long time, more than that probably. But I cleaned her house, and she grew cotton. She was 96 when she died last year. She grew cotton in her yard in the elementary school just up the street from her. People would stop and get some just to show their children.
Well, there you go. It's it seems to me like the teacher did a great job because those kids immediately understood why the cotton gin was welcomed into American society.
Yes, we used to go to the cotton gin and watch them do all this stuff. So, Todd, this is so sick. These people, they just got to, honestly, we got to have a revival.
Yes, we do. And Faye, we've got to speak out. I mean, whenever stuff like this happens, we've got to be willing to call it out. I remember, Faye, many years ago when I was working at Fox News Radio, one of the editors got upset because I mentioned in a, I forget, I was doing a story about fried chicken or something, or I don't know. And anyway, I said there's nothing better than, you know, fried chicken and some cornbread that's baked in a cast iron skillet and collard greens. And they pulled me aside and they said, Todd, people would consider this to be racist because you're white.
Hey, way I grew up, my mom used, we had chickens. The mother said, "Go out and let's go out and get a chicken. We got to have the preacher come in for lunch Sunday."
I'm not sure I want to tell Grace Baker what happened to that chicken. All right, Faye.
It was good, though.
I bet it was. You sound like good people, Faye. So thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in.
God bless you all.
All right. God bless you, Faye. And you know, Grace, there are a lot of people out there. I would say the majority of people in America feel just the way Faye does. And you've got these folks out there. You know, they're saying right now, and this is the mantra of the left, if they disagree with you, you're racist.
This is true. That's their calling card.
And that's what they're calling Elon Musk right now, and he's African.
I think they just don't have any good defenses anymore, so they're just like, everything's racist.
Everything's racist.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget that meeting at Fox News Radio when they told me, and those people are no longer there. I think they retired. But they said, well, Todd, people might get the wrong impression. I'm like, shut up. And they're like, no, really, no. I'm like, no, shut up. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Did you end up publishing it?
Of course.
So you didn't back down?
No. Look, and you should not back down if you're right about something.
This is true.
I mean, and that's just silliness. And because if you back down on something like that, then they know they've got you.
That's true. Because once you apologize once or whatever, they never stop.
They don't want your apology. They want your submission.
True.
That's what that's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Blind obedience.
You ever pick cotton, Grace?
No, I have not.
Really?
No.
It's hard work.
I'm sure it is.
I had to bale hay one summer.
Oh, wow.
And I swore I would never do that again.
I also have not done that.
I haven't done much work
on a farm.
I have great respect for farmers.
I do, too.
The amount of work they do, unbelievable.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Grace Baker. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. You know, emergencies happen anytime. No power, no lights. No news. Federal agencies are now urging families to have an emergency radio. Now, Newsmax, which I watch all the time, also publishes Newsmax magazine. It is a great publication. Incredible writers, Bill O'Reilly, Dick Morris, Dr. Laura. I miss Dr. Laura. She's just amazing. They want you to get the World Band Emergency Radio free with Newsmax magazine. Now, this powerful radio works during any emergency, and get this, doesn't need batteries. They use a hand crank, and super LED flashlight is included. The radio also includes NOAA weather band, long-range AM receivers, an FM band, and even a USB for cell phones. Now, this Dynamo emergency radio normally retails for $30, but you can get it free with a discounted Newsmax magazine subscription. Newsmax is news you can trust. So go right now to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com. Or you can call Newsmax toll-free, 1-800-NEWSMAX. That's 1-800-NEWSMAX. This free radio could save your life. Quantities are limited, so order today. Now, look, there's a lot going on in the world of politics. And I've got to play some audio. Do we have this ready to go from Oklahoma? All right. So this is, you know, when you're giving a speech. And Grace Baker, you know this. You've seen me deliver a couple of stem winders. And you're up there. And you're in the moment. And you're just going to town.
Yes.
And you got to be careful.
Can't get carried away now.
There was one time where I gave a speech. And the crowd was just, man, they were on fire. They were standing up.
Just like that?
Sort of like that.
Okay. Yes.
And like 9 or 10 standing ovations in the course of a 20-minute speech. It was one of my favorite speeches. But I realized about midway through, I think we're starting a militia. I just, you know,
wait,
it, just,
what?
It was that kind of fervor, you know.
People
were just, so what you have to do as a speaker is kind of, you're taking people on a journey. It's kind of an emotional ride. And so you got to know when to kind of back off.
Slow it down.
And then shuck it to the cob.
Oh, okay.
It's a saying. The people in Arkansas taught me that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Shuck it to the cop. That means there's nothing less. You leave it all out there.
That's pretty good.
So anyway, there is a guy running for Congress out in Oklahoma. His name is John Bennett. He is the chairman of the Oklahoma Republican Party. And he had some things to say about Dr. Anthony Fauci during a speech the other day.
We're fighting communist Democrats, establishment rhinos.
All right.
We're fighting against a system that stole the election in 2020, and nobody's been held accountable.
That's right. Preach. Preach.
We're in a war with bureaucrats that have forced vaccine mandates on us, mask mandates on us. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're pushing this wokeness confusion down our throats now. Yes, and by the way, we should try Anthony Fauci and put him in front of a firing squad.
Wait, what? Well,
for the Secret Service, if they're listening,
probably
I'm not advocating we kill Anthony Fauci until he's convicted of his crimes through a court. We're fighting communist Democrats.
Well, that sort of escalated quickly, did it not? They don't tell us where he was speaking, but it looks like a church. There's a Bible verse and a cross on the back wall. So there's some indication. But anyway, this is sort of making the rounds. This came out a couple of hours ago. And Mr. Bennett is not backing down. He says that Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to be arrested. He needs to be charged with some sort of a crime that carries the death penalty. And then he needs to be put in front of a firing squad. And seems like the crowd was pretty into this. Bennett is running in a very crowded primary field there in Oklahoma, which, by the way, is the reddest state of all the states and the only state where every county went for Donald Trump in both presidential elections. So this is deep red Trump country, and this guy says, let's put Fauci in front of a firing squad. What say you, America, to that? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. So Dr. Oz, you know what? I'm going to take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about Dr. Oz. He had a big debate last night, and man, did he get smacked around by the other Republicans. I mean, it was brutal. Also, new polling data out from Georgia. And you folks that listen to us in Georgia, we had a very long conversation yesterday about David Perdue and Brian Kemp. Now, there's a new survey out, and it's not looking good for David Perdue. His numbers are still down. Herschel Walker is blazing a path to victory. Over 60% of the voters in Georgia support Herschel Walker. But Perdue folks are in a world of trouble right now. And what is it going to take to swing things back around in Purdue's favor? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
In November of 2020, the Democrats are up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud never before seen. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules. Directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by Salem Media Group with research from TrueTheVote.org. 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how he tracked their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules on May 2nd or May 4th. And check your local listings and get your tickets today at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. Again, 2000mules.com. All right, folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us today. So I've been trying to prepare you folks in Georgia for what is about to happen, and a lot of this is about optics, and I've been warning you that if David Perdue does not do well in the midterm elections, then it could be problematic for the president and the media, just in the way they interpret what's happening in your state. And we've got a new poll out from the Atlanta Urinal Constipation. That's the Atlanta newspaper. And the Atlanta Urinal Constipation says that David Perdue is trailing Brian Kemp by a staggering number, 53% to 27% among likely voters. By the way, we did reach out to there's another person running in the Republican primary, and we reached out to her last night. So we're going to try to get her on the show. But if Kemp clears that 50%, he wins outright. There's not going to be a Republican runoff. And then he would go on to face whoever the Democrats are going to put up, probably Stacey Abrams. And it would be a repeat of the original gubernatorial race that Kemp won. But here's how the Washington Post. Now, again, I'm just not making this stuff up. I've covered this long enough. I know how the media behaves. And this is how the Washington Post is describing this poll. If Kemp clears 50%, he will win outright without a runoff, which would be a stunning downfall for Perdue, given his endorsement by Trump. Analysts are already describing this as evidence of Trump's waning influence among GOP voters. You see, there it is. But something is bigger at stake. A decisive Kemp win would show that Republican officials can abide by the integrity of election losses and live to tell the tale. That is, without immediately seeing their careers implode in the next GOP primary. The Journal Constitution poll, pardon me, the Urinal Constitution poll found that a majority of GOP voters say Trump's endorsement will not impact their choice or make them less likely to back a candidate. Is that true, Georgia voters? 844-747-8868. Many GOP primary candidates are running on Trump's lies, that's their word, their phrase, not mine, about our elections. But there's something uniquely repulsive and corrupt about Perdue's rendition. And then they go on to attack, and it's a pretty scathing attack on David Perdue. But there you have it. I mean, right now, this is, and again, this is after President Trump coming to Georgia and doing a rally. I can't imagine that he would go back and do yet another rally, especially if Perdue's numbers are tanking. And you can say what you will about the Atlanta Urinal Constipation, but there's their poll. And it's not the only poll that shows that Perdue is in trouble. Now, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom, University of Idaho, going after three Christian law students. We're going to tell you about that. Also, our good friend Ralph Reed and Dr. Chris Hughes, who is leading up the Culture Engagement Summit here in Memphis, Tennessee, coming up this Saturday. He's going to be with us in the next hour. Also, breaking news from the border, and it is getting ugly down there. The Democrats are determined to remove Title 42, and this information just coming in, they're expecting thousands of illegals to surge the border, not in Texas, but in Tijuana. So you folks down in San Diego County, California, you better get ready because you guys are about to get a massive influx of illegal aliens. When Title 42 lifts, the entire border is basically erased. That's how big of a deal this is. And that's why you've got even Democrats representing these border counties and communities. They're freaking out. They know what is about to happen, and they don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, we don't have time to play this. We'll get to Henry Cuellar. He's the congressman from Texas, a Democrat. And he says there's not a single border community that says, yeah, Mr. President, go ahead and lift Title 42. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden up at the White House yesterday welcoming the Tampa Bay Lightning, the hockey team. And he got the name of the NHL commissioner wrong. Called him Batman. Holy senility, America. unbelievable what's happening down there. Just unbelievable. So we're going to get into all of that, and we'll ask Ralph Reed also about this, about the border. I mean, this could be the game changer here. I mean, yeah, the economy's bad, and we get it, the gas prices. But when you're looking at a million-plus illegals swarming our border, folks, that is bad, bad news. Also, coming up next week, heading back to Mar-a-Lago, we're going to be hanging out with Dinesh D'Souza, walking the red carpet at his big movie premiere, a great documentary. We're going to try to get Dinesh on the show this week, certainly next week. And I believe we're working out broadcasting our entire show from Mar-a-Lago. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, Grace Baker, is this true about Kamala Harris, the vice president?
Yes, I checked. I made sure this wasn't like a satire. No, it's real.
Yeah, well, now, of course, that Elon Musk owns Twitter. You know, we can't trust anything on Twitter anymore. That's what the left says.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are one of the few national radio shows that is unvaccinated. Kamala Harris has the China virus.
But no symptoms.
Well, you know she's got... That means she has symptoms.
Oh, it
does? That's what that means.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So she's got the China virus. Let me guess, fully vaccinated, fully boosted.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. There you
go.
To
my knowledge.
Well, to your knowledge, has she been around Uncle Joe? Do we know?
Well, I would assume so. And that's what I was going to say. Didn't Nancy Pelosi just have COVID?
Was that before or after the drag show appearance?
Ooh, I think that was before.
Everybody got it. They had that, what was it, the notorious KBJ, the new Supreme Court
Justice.
Oh,
yes, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Thank you, KBJ. I got it right.
There you go.
They're calling her notorious now. She's like the replacement for RBG.
RBG sounds much better. God bless
your
terms
soul.
Of just like rolls off the tongue.
It does. It's difficult. Anyway, that was a super spreader event, and everybody came down with it. And that's probably where she got it.
Maybe she's had it. She just now got tested.
By the way, we'll talk about this later. By the way, new book coming out. And the word is that Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden cannot stand Kamala Harris. They bad blood.
I could see that.
And, well, she called her husband a racist. I mean, during the Democrat debates. Remember that? It was ugly.
Very ugly.
So anyway, we'll see how all that plays out. So it could have been that somebody gave her the China virus.
Cat fight. Cat fight.
I'm telling you. I am telling you. Anyway, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, everybody. Todd Starnes here with you. And we're very excited to have a guest in studio with us. Dr. Chris Hughes has started an incredible organization called the Citizens for America Foundation. And we've been telling you about this huge event that's happening right here in Memphis, Tennessee. on April 30th, this coming Saturday, and we want you to be there. This is an important conference. Dr. Hughes, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's such an honor to be on your show.
And I have to tell you, the best thing about your conference, I don't have to get on board an airplane to go anywhere.
Well, that makes it great, and you are the flagship speaker of our event, but that's why we're excited to be in Memphis. You have a great airport here, and really 2 hours from Dallas, 2 hours from Colorado, anywhere in the country, you can be here quickly.
It is. We're very proud of our airport. It was finally upgraded, and we love that thing, and it really is an easy way to get here. A lot of churches, a lot of groups around the Mid-South need to attend this conference this weekend. Tell us about the conference.
Well, it's called the Culture Engagement Summit. You can learn more at citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. We've got almost 40 speakers. Dr. Robert Jeffers, really America's pastors, coming. Ryan Helfenbein from the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. Mark Meadows, former congressman and chief of staff to President Trump. Marsha Blackburn, Rick Scott, so many others are coming, but it's a great day where we want Christian conservatives to gather and learn what they believe and why they believe in the Bible, to develop a biblical worldview on a lot of issues that you talk about every day right here, Todd, and then be able to take that back specifically into the arena of public policy and politics. It's important because we have a major election. You were just talking about the Georgia election before the break. We have elections like that all over the country, and Christians have got to get registered to vote and elect godly men and women to office.
And that's really the key here, is that you have to get the Christian community out. I've seen surveys, estimates that maybe two out of three conservative Christians stay home and don't go and vote on Election Day. That's appalling.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. George Barna, who's a Christian pollster, says there's over 40 million Christian evangelicals who are eligible to vote and are not even registered to vote. And you know, with what's going on with school boards across the country, Todd, and I know you talk about that every day, we can win those local school board elections if we would just turn out and vote.
Where do you see this conference going? I mean, it's not just speeches, but you also have some great workshops as well.
Yeah, we have about 30 breakout sessions, so you can interact. You know, a lot of people go to these big conferences, and they can't interact with these famous speakers. Well, all these people are going to be very accessible that day. You can ask questions, and we want you to leave learning, is homosexuality a sin? Is transgender something really that God ordained that you want? Is abortion a sin? What do we do? We may live in the post-Roe America. In just a couple of months, the Supreme Court could decide that Roe v. Wade goes back to the states. We need to be prepared as Christians. So I want people to get educated that day. You're going to leave equipped and have a lot of great information that you can go back and share at your churches and your community.
The event is Saturday, April 30th, this coming Saturday, on the campus of Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. That's right off Interstate 40. And again, if you'd like information, citizensforamericafoundation.com. Dr. Hughes, in your travels around the country, are you finding that conservatives are mobilizing, that they are beginning to engage on the local level?
Todd, I think it's starting to pick up. And one reason is, as much as I hated all the craziness of COVID across the country, when kids were sent home, parents began to see what was being taught in our school system, and that was a wake-up call. And I hope and pray that we're going to have Christian parents across the country that will mobilize and decide that we've got to get engaged in this process.
It is, and it's an ongoing process. I mean, yesterday we had the Supreme Court argument with Coach Joe Kennedy, and at stake there could be a landmark decision that would decide whether or not public employees would be able to actually pray on government property. It's hard to imagine we're debating those kinds of issues in the 21st century.
Yeah, just 15 years ago, we would have never dreamed that we're where we are today in America, and churches need to wake up because our religious liberties are in danger. And pastors, a lot of you won't take a stand on these issues, but you're going to lose the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is going to become hate speech if we don't do something.
Well, and as a matter of fact, there was a school district, and our listeners on KQAM in Wichita know this area very well, where a former city council person actually wanted the Bible removed from the classroom. And the argument they used, and this is why I'm a free speech purist, And my contention is, if they're going to ban my books, they could very well one day ban the Bible. So I think this is more an issue of what is appropriate for a child to read. And this city council person says the Bible ought to be removed from the classroom.
And that should scare all of us as Christians. They want to remove the Bible, but they've got all these pornographic books literally through the common sexuality education curriculum that our federal government is funding that are very graphic and pornographic in pictures being shown to 7 and 8 year olds.
Just seems to me, I don't care if it's straight or gay, I don't think children need to be learning about sex in preschool and kindergarten.
I agree 100%, but it's happening all over the country.
And the reason why is very simple, Dr. Hughes. I suspect it's because parents are just not engaged in the education process.
That's right. And we need to encourage parents. You need to know who's on your school board. Pastors, know who's there. Go to meet the teachers. And if we engage as parents across the country, we can make a difference.
Now, I want you to answer what I hope is not a difficult question, but I've just been confounded with the number of evangelical Christian pastors who have gone woke and don't want to talk about the issues of the day. And I'm wondering why that is. What's going on?
Well, I think there's a real infiltration. So I'm going to really make some people mad here. I'm a Southern Baptist, but it's happening within the Southern Baptist Convention right now. We have a huge number of pastors who are allowing CRT, critical race theory, and preaching it from the pulpit. They preach all this other stuff except the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ. Our seminaries right now are teaching critical race theory and so many other things that should really terrify us. And it's time for us to wake up in our churches and tell our pastors they need to address these issues. They're scared of offending people.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the reason why that, what you just said, is so vitally important is that the Southern Baptists have the largest seminaries in America, and they're training not just Baptist preachers, but Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans. I mean, right on down the Protestant line.
That's right. We are the largest training organization for pastors and missionaries and sending missionaries around the world. So if men and women are being trained in a way that is not biblical, if they're being taught this critical race theory and other nonsense, it's going to affect churches and Christendom for years to come.
And that's why I'm so glad that Ryan Helfenbein is going to be a part of this great Saturday. He's the executive director of the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. And if we're going to really impact the culture, we're going to have to support universities like Liberty. We're going to have to support great seminaries like Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary.
We've got to support them, and Ryan's just a super defender of the faith and constitutional values. I know you're having Ralph Reed on a little while. Ralph's sending a team for the Faith and Freedom Coalition to talk to us about how to get out the vote and turn out the Christian vote. It's going to be a great day.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. A lot of folks don't realize that Ralph Reed and his group registered more Republicans to vote in the last presidential election than the entire Republican Party did.
Ralph has done an incredible job with the Faith and Freedom Coalition. They've knocked on millions of doors, as you said, registered millions of Christian voters, and they're making a real difference as Christians engage.
You didn't tell me, by the way. This just registered. You said I'm like the speech. I've got to wrap this thing up.
You're the man.
I don't know about this. That's a lot of pressure to put on a guy on a Saturday.
Well, there's nobody better than Todd Starnes, and I would fly to Memphis from anywhere in the country just to see you.
It's going
to
be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time. You got a great lineup of speakers, both local here in the Memphis area and really national. Who are some of the other, you've got, 30 plus?
Yeah, so an interesting one that's not a famous name. You may recall there was a shooting in a church in Texas in 2017, and the guy who went out to his truck and got the AR-15.
Sutherland Springs.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yeah, Stephen Williford, the guy that shot the bad guy and ran him down on the road, he's coming here, and Gun Owners of America is bringing him to our
event.
Is
that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. So this, there really is something for everybody at this summit.
There really is. It's going to be a great day.
And I love the fact, I mean, it's pretty economical, and you also get lunch, which, I mean, you know, this crowd loves to eat.
Me too, yes.
So, all right. So, very nice. So, Dr. Hughes, this coming Saturday, April 30th, what is it you want people, and that we've got about a minute or so left here, what is it that you want people to walk away from this conference knowing and doing?
Well, I want them to have an urgency that know that Jesus is returning at any time, and we need to be ready, and we need to impact the culture for Jesus. And there's no way, better way to impact the culture for Jesus than to win people to Jesus. So we want to lead people to Jesus, but we've got to elect godly men and women to public office this year.
That's it. I mean, folks, It really is that simple. If we're able to do that, we're going to be able to facilitate a lot of change in this country. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones here. Salem, Oregon. Mike is listening to us on our great affiliate out there, KYKN. Mike, you're on the air with Dr. Hughes.
Hi, Dr. Hughes. I think what people are failing to realize is the poison of pornography that has greatly run rampant in our churches. I am one, I myself am addicted to pornography and have fought for years to get away from it.
Well, Mike... So,
go ahead, Dr. Hughes.
Mike, it is a plague in our churches, but a real problem right now is because kids are being shown so many pornographic images as early as first and second grade, it's going to get a whole generation of people addicted to pornography just because of what's coming through our school systems.
Mike, we appreciate the call. We're real tight for a break here, so thank you for that. And I know, again, some of the workshops, so maybe we could just rattle off a couple of them so folks know what to expect.
Well, we've got a former Congresswoman, Rosie Orozco, coming from Mexico, a Mexican Congresswoman, and she's going to address human trafficking. Todd, we have an epidemic in our country where people are being brought across that open border that should be closed and sold as sex slaves. We've got Gun Owners of America talking about the biblical mandate of being able to defend yourself. Scott Klusendorf, who's probably the best apologist in the nation to talk about the pro-life issue. So many issues are going to be covered that day. Please go to citizensforamericafoundation.com and register today.
And we also have a direct link on our live show blog, folks. So either way, citizensforamericafoundation.com. We would love to see you there on Saturday, April 30th. Now, Friday, we're going to be broadcasting our program from the campus of MidAmerica. And if you live anywhere in the Mid-South, we would love for you to come out and say hello to Grace. We'll be there. I will be there. And we're going to have a great time leading up to this coming Saturday. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. No, it's really going to be a lot of fun at this weekend event, and we hope that you can make it out and say hello to all of us. I know, Grace, you don't get to go out a lot, so we have to keep you here in the building.
Yeah, you know, I'm just locked up in the tower here. It's very sad.
Wow.
Let my hair grow out so I can let it down and someone can rescue me. No, I'm kidding.
It's a nice place, though. I mean,
it is a very nice place. You know, it's not like a dungeon or anything.
But this weekend, it's going to be fun to meet a lot of our listeners from all over America.
Yes. Always love meeting our listeners.
Grace, this, you know, is it time for North Carolina to stay? You know, we have a lot of listeners in Hendersonville, North Carolina, which is right smack dab in Madison Cawthorn country.
I love North Carolina.
Is it time for the people of North Carolina to have an intervention with their congressman?
Yes.
Madison Cawthorn?
Yes.
You think so?
100%.
So, you know, the photographs came out a couple of days ago, and I don't think that was a big deal. They're doing that to embarrass him.
And it was embarrassing.
But he's been, in the news a lot. He's been getting cited over and over again for driving without a license. And now we have some breaking news. This is from WSOC-TV. Apparently, Congressman Cawthorn was cited for having a gun at Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
What in the world?
Happened this morning. Three sources are telling Channel 9, which is WSOC-TV, according to the TSA, a 9mm handgun was discovered at Checkpoint D. TSA declined to say who the passenger was, but they have three sources saying that it was Cawthorn.
Ooh.
They say it's unclear if Cawthorn will face any criminal charges. A spokesperson for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department could not immediately comment. It is not the first time a gun has been discovered on Cawthorn at an airport. In February 2021, a 9mm handgun was found in his carry-on bag at the Asheville Regional Airport. Man, I have flown out of that airport probably more than any other airport in the South.
The one in the in Charlotte?
No, in Asheville, North Carolina. Great little airport. Yeah. Love that place.
I love North Carolina in general. It's just a beautiful state.
So a spokesperson for Cawthorn did not respond to a request for comment.
Not surprised there.
So, again, is it just one set of rules for Madison Cawthorn and another set for all the rest of us?
He's young, Todd.
Oh, I know. He's a youngster.
Boys will be boys. I'm sorry. That's where that gets really annoying. Boys will be boys.
So there you go.
A full grown man.
So again, I get it. Maybe if it's the first time, but if you've already been cited once before, you would think to check your luggage, right? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. I was eating my fried chicken and enjoying some cornbread as I read this story about whiteboards. This is from campusreform.org. A new study published in the Physical Review Physics Education Research magazine. pretty certain I haven't read that. They have determined that whiteboards can be racist. These are like the race boards, right? Where you have a little magic marker and you write something. That's what a whiteboard is.
Exactly.
And so they did a study observing whiteness in introductory physics. So now physics is now subjective.
Oh boy.
You know, science was science. It was fact.
We're doomed as a society.
We are indeed. The study observed three students as they worked to solve a physics problem and analyzed how whiteness is present in academia. They found that whiteboards can have racist undertones and perpetuate whiteness.
Wait, what?
What about blackboards?
Oh, gosh. I think those are called chalkboards, Todd.
Well, they're chalkboards, but they're black.
And then you use a white chalk.
That could be even more racist.
This is true. We're in a bit of a predicament.
How about we just do this? Let's have a blackboard, and we'll use a black magic marker on the blackboard.
You won't be able to see it.
Well, they're not learning anything anyway.
That's true.
What's the point? All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Meanwhile, at the University of Idaho, there's a whole other story going on, and this one has really got under my skin. A group of Christian law students got in trouble because of their religious beliefs. Our good friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are representing these young people, and on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tyson Langhofer joins us to explain what's going on. Hey, Tyson, how's it going today?
Hey, Todd. Doing fine. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us the story here. Three Christian law students got in trouble. What happened?
Yeah, this is a concerning one, Todd. So three law students, members of the Christian Legal Society at the Idaho Law School, they, along with several of their other friends, decided to join a moment of community, which was going to be held on the front steps of the law school. And it was in response to kind of condemn a discriminatory slur that had been written on a chalkboard of another campus. So they went out there to join. There was about 30 people out there, several professors and a dean and students. And the members of this Christian Legal Society joined hands, about 15 of them, to pray at this moment of unity and the others while the others kind of stood away. And when they got done praying, one of the students that was standing apart there asked the students kind of, broadly, why Christian Legal Society has a requirement that their leaders sign a statement of faith before they become a leader of Christian Legal Society. And they explained to them why they did and what the Bible said about biblical sexuality. there was a little bit of a discussion, a minute or so, and then they agreed to disagree and walked away. Later on Monday, that was on a Friday, the following Monday, there was an ABA meeting where people brought up this exchange, and they accused the Christian Legal Society members of being discriminatory. One of the students, who was not at the moment of unity, spoke up and defended them and said, no, actually, you know, the only real problem here was when Christian Legal Society earlier in the year had been denied recognition at the law school because it requires its leaders to be, you know, sign a statement of faith. Later that week, without any further notice, three students received no contact orders from the Title IX office of the university.
So what does that mean? What does that mean, no contact notices?
I will tell you about them. So it essentially tells them that you cannot have any verbal, nonverbal, written, you know, whatever, communication with this individual, this student who had made a complaint against them in any way, even if you're in class. So if you're in the class with this other person, you have to sit opposite of them. And if you were to respond to that student, you have to get prior permission from the Title IX office before doing so. And these orders are to remain in place for in perpetuity. They are not, there's no time limit, and there's no appeal. So basically, and if they violate these, they're subject to the student code of conduct, which allows them to either suspend or expel these students simply for engaging in dialogue with another student that's a member of their law school. And so that is essentially like a restraining order. And they're issued, again, without any due process, no hearing, and no finding of them doing anything wrong. The only interaction these students have had with this other student is in this one exchange on the steps of the law school where she asked them a question about her religious beliefs, and they responded.
So you guys are now representing the students here. I understand you guys have filed a lawsuit. What happened to the students? Are they still in school?
Yeah, they're still in school. But here's the concern, Todd, is that, after we found out about this, I thought, well, this has to be a mistake. The general counsel's office can't know about this. This is clearly a violation of their First Amendment rights. It's clearly a violation of their free exercise rights. So I contacted the general counsel's office, let them know about it, and said, please remove these orders. This is not constitutional. This is all protected speech. I mean, and these are, you know, these are adults that were engaging in discussion about religion and sexuality. That's clearly protected speech. And they refused to remove the orders. And we've been in discussions with them for a couple of weeks, and we're unable to do that. And so, you know, these students have been in fear of further repercussions. I mean, they simply, you know, decided to participate in this moment of community with other members of the law school, and they're hit with this restraining order, essentially telling them they cannot speak with another student of member of their class. And, you know, that's a real problem, not only, you know, from the First Amendment perspective, but from a university perspective. I mean, these are law students that are, you know, going to be the ones that are out there, you know, defending people's rights under the Constitution, and yet they're, you know, we're teaching them to go to the administration when they have a disagreement with a student and get a restraining order simply because you disagree over your religious beliefs.
Yeah, this is sadly where we are in the 21st century, and I know that you guys have seen a pretty significant uptick in cases, and it seems to happen during Democrat administrations. I'm not sure what we want to read into that, Tyson. But there are just blatant attacks on people because of their religious beliefs these days.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, what the problem is that after this event happened, many other people came out. You know, there's a professor that stuck a big sign on her door decrying religious beliefs and things like that. And there's other people posting on Facebook about how they're sickened and saddened by, you know, these expressions of religious beliefs. And they're not punished. There's no, you know, restraining orders issued against them. The only, you know, orders are against these three law students who simply desire to be able to live consistently with their faith, and, you know, desire to be able to engage in these discussions and debates just like everybody else. And what's happening is that on law school campuses and university campuses and even K-12 schools, you know, religious students are being targeted simply for expressing their religious beliefs. And that's wrong. It's a violation of the Constitution, and it shouldn't happen.
All right, Tyson, we've got links to Alliance Defending Freedom up on our live show blog, and we would love for you guys to keep us updated on this lawsuit, and let's hope that the courts are able to do what the university was not, which is make good on these kids.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Todd.
All right, Tyson Langhofer from Alliance Defending Freedom, everybody, and we've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com. Just shocking. What's happening these days on these university campuses. Now, look, I don't know about you guys, but I started, you know, I've been very interested in taking these dietary supplements, you know, the vitamins and all this other kind of stuff. I'm not a big pill person. And normally some of these pills are like the sizes, you know, they're huge. And I'm just not a big fan of that. You got to have the water, and you know, you try to swallow it, and it gets stuck in your throat, and nobody likes that kind of stuff. Well, I've got to tell you about a brand new product out there that is unbelievable. It's called Healthy Cell, and they have created this great tasting gel. It's sort of like a you know, when you go to the Grace Bakery, you go to the store, you have the yogurt. And they come in the little pouches, and you can just slurp it. Well, that's exactly what this is. And the stuff tastes amazing. It tastes just like, I don't know, strawberry, blueberry. They have all sorts of different flavors. And I've been trying this stuff out for about a month now. And they have all sorts of different kinds of dietary supplements. The name of the supplements, Healthy Cell. And the best part about it, when you use a gel instead of the pill, you're actually absorbing more of the nutrients. Folks, one of the things that has really helped me, they have a sleep pack, and I take that thing right before I go to bed, and I wake up feeling like $1 million. In America, 70% of adults report they have insufficient sleep at least one night a month. 11% report insufficient sleep every night. So if you're one of those statistics, then you need to check out our friends at Healthy Cell. And that's all I want you to go to their website, healthycell.com. Now get this, if you order something, they're going to give you 20% off your entire first order, but you got to use my code Todd at checkout. That's healthycell.com, healthycell.com. Use the code Todd. They're going to give you 20% off your entire first order, folks. They have absolutely revolutionized dietary supplements. I highly recommend these folks. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. Ralph Reed coming up in the next hour. You know what we haven't done in a while, Grace Baker, is crime news.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo call, the popo call, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABD.
All right, Dateline, Alabama. Oh, it's not Florida. Thank you, Grace Baker. Normally, it's always Florida.
Got to keep you on your toes.
Two Alabama men have been arrested over an audacious but extremely ill-advised theft. The Russell County Sheriff's Office said in a Facebook post Tuesday that Gabriel Mendoza Garcia and Steve Jerome Span. Oh, he spells Jerome kind of like the millennial way.
I've noticed a lot of millennial spellings
lately.
With a G lately.
Instead of a J.
That's just weird.
It is weird. They were arrested Monday for allegedly stealing a speed warning trailer that belongs to the sheriff's office.
The ones that, like, you drive past and it calculates, you're going this fast, and you're like, oh, cool,
and then
I'm
it gets faster
it.
And faster and starts blinking
beep,
at
beep,
you.
Beep, beep. Yeah.
It appears they were trying to get the batteries to sell the batteries, Sheriff Heath Taylor tells the Ledger Inquirer.
That's stupid.
Batteries are bringing a high dollar now, so I guess it's not stupid. Both men have been charged with first-degree theft of property and first-degree criminal mischief.
So were they speeding with the trailer, too? That's what I want to know.
Well, oh, that's a good question. Maybe that was the clue. Dispatch, we've got a sheriff's trailer.
Going 20 miles over the speed limit.
I clocked it going 30, and it's going 35. Taylor says the suspects were actually tracked down through the trailer's GPS.
Ah, should have known.
Television station WRBL reports the trailer is also equipped with a camera, so the whole thing was captured on
video. Wow.
The sheriff says it just shows you we've got crazy people running around town. From the smoking gun. Wow, this is one bad dude. Faced with a locked bathroom at a convenience store, a Florida man. We knew there was going to be a Florida guy.
Always, sorry.
A Florida man decided instead to relieve himself inside the business's beer cave.
Ew.
So here's the deal. The bathroom was locked, and I guess the guy had to, you know, when nature calls.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
When you gotta go, you gotta go. And he went. According to an arrest report, Clarence Patterson, age 61, entered the Hoppin' Pop store and proceeded to the restroom, which was locked. He then entered the beer cave, making the appearance he was looking at the merchandise inside of the beer cave.
There it is.
Patterson, who lives about 2 miles from the store in the town of Rockledge, then faced towards the alcohol cases on the shelves. He unzipped his pants.
Ew.
And began urinating. Quote, there were 6 cases of beer total that were damaged and could no longer be sold, a cop reported, adding the beer cave incident was recorded by a store surveillance camera.
Wait, so how much did he have to go if he destroyed 6 whole cases?
$113.36 worth of beer.
Is he just spraying everywhere?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a, I don't know.
Like a...
You know, the sprinkler in
like
the front
a broken
yard.
Faucet?
It's like,
yep.
It could be. Could be. All right, there you go. All right, this story from Meridian. Is this Mississippi? We'll say it's Meridian, Mississippi. Actually, it's not. It's Idaho.
Okay.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Adam Pearl walked into his home in Meridian, Idaho. I can't keep talking like this. This is my official news anchor voice.
Uh-huh.
Hello, America. I'm Todd Stone.
Now that I've actually seen Anchorman, I get it.
You know what I'm talking about. Adam Pearl walked into his home in Meridian and realized something did not seem right. I came in the front door and I saw snow prints out on the front driveway.
Uh-oh.
So I thought something was awry because no one goes through the yard. Pearl was immediately greeted by his pet squirrel, Joey.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
Joey. He started noticing a few doors that would normally be closed were open. After making his way to the back bedroom, his fear was confirmed once he started looking into his gun safe. Quote, I started looking at it and I saw scratches that are around the locking area. And at that point, I knew somebody was definitely in here messing around, Mr. Pearl said. So he called the popo. Officer Ashley Turner came out to take a look. Joey just had to say hello. A very, I guess, a cordial, very hospitable squirrel.
Which is interesting.
During our investigation, Joey had run into the bedroom, just screwing around like he does between her legs. Kind of, what the hell? What is going on here?
He's just acting a little squirrely. Just continue.
Good golly. The squirrel startled the officer. She said, whoa, I'm not that kind of girl. And I said, don't worry about that. That's just Joey, my pet squirrel, you know. Where is this story going? He said.
Now I don't really know.
I don't know. He said, well, he usually doesn't bite, but you never know because he is a squirrel. That's true.
They can be rabid.
Officer Turner went on her way, only to return a few hours later with some of his stolen belongings and unbelievable news. She said while she was questioning the individual, he had scratches on his hands. So she asked him, did you get that from a squirrel? And he says, yeah, damn thing kept attacking me and wouldn't stop until I left. So now Joey, who tried to have his way with the female police officer, is being hailed as a hero in the squirrel community.
So you could say he went a little nuts on the burglar, huh?
Jeez, oh, Alou.
That's the best thing I've heard all week.
Mr. Pearl says, yeah, the squirrel's a pain in the butt, but he's a great squirrel. And he guards the house. He says, I know it's crazy. And so it turns out Joey doesn't like nuts. He likes Whoppers.
Who knew?
Those are very good.
Who needs a guard dog when you got a squirrel?
And who likes milk? You know, malted milk balls. So there you go. All right, stick around, America, please. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Pucker up, America. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 3 of the big show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, coming up a little bit later on this hour, our good friend Ralph Reed is going to drop by talking about the midterm elections. Last night in Pennsylvania, the Republicans going at it in this Senate debate, President Trump supporting Dr. Oz. And it seems like everybody in MAGA world is opposed to that pick. Regardless, President Trump was mentioned a time or two. Let's check out cut number 6, please.
He went growling to President Trump. President Trump saw right through him, did not endorse him, and then he endorsed me.
Everything President Trump put in place worked.
The reason Mema keeps talking about President Trump's endorsement is because he can't run on his own positions.
President Trump won Pennsylvania.
President Trump endorsed me. President Trump was very clear, I'm America first.
I'm the only person in this race that was appointed by President Trump.
You say that you are America first, okay, and you did so much for President Trump, and yet he rejected
you
twice.
Thank you, Ms. Barnett.
Once again, trying to tell Pennsylvanians something that President Trump does not believe is true.
President Trump doesn't always get the best advice.
I am
the only conservative voice.
No, you're not.
Dishonest Dave is at it again.
What President Trump did is he put his finger on the fact
President Trump did was respect people who had been othered, forgotten, canceled.
President Trump coined the word MAGA.
I have discussed it with President Trump.
And just like President Trump, that experience is going to make me a better senator.
So much so that President Trump, on his teletown hall,
we need to enforce the policies that worked under the Trump administration.
President Trump saw right through him. He therefore did not endorse Mr. McCormick. He endorsed me.
President Trump's policies.
Trump was able to put together Operation Warp Speed.
We saw under the Trump economy.
That's why President Trump has done so well.
Wow. There it was in a nutshell. It was basically a free-for-all, and it's an argument, a debate that's being had in state after state. You folks in North Carolina, you folks in Tennessee in that 5th congressional district race, you folks in Nevada with Laxalt, and then, of course, in Georgia, which is really ground zero, where you have a Senate race and a gubernatorial race, where you have the president and his team on one side, and then you have the MAGA world on the other side. Now, I think at the end of the day, everybody's going to get together, and they're going to get all this figured out, but it is an ugly fight right now as we figure out who the stronger candidates are. And in Georgia, based on the polling we've seen, the Atlanta Urinal Constipation out with a new poll that shows Brian Kemp with 53% of the vote. He goes into the primary and he wins anything over 50%. There is no runoff. That's it. So the question at that point, does that mean anything? If Trump's candidates do not pull out victories, will that factor into what happens in 2024? The challenge, though, is that there are so many candidates who are winning, but there are key races where it's going to be close. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, you have the border situation, and it is a mess down there, and not just in Texas. I want to put a pin in Texas for just a moment. There's a report out that about 6,000 illegals are expected to surge the border at Tijuana, and that means you folks in San Diego County could get a taste of what the good people in Texas are dealing with. Then you have Bishop Evans, who was a member of the Texas National Guard, just a young man, young patriot. he tried to rescue a couple of drug smugglers who were swimming across the Rio Grande River and could not make it. He jumps in. He saves their lives, but he sacrifices his own. And Jen Psaki, Little Red Lion Hood, was asked about this and whether or not the Biden family has, first of all, even reached out to the family of this American hero, cut number nine.
I don't have any, in case you may ask, I don't have any updates at this moment in terms of the president's outreach, but if that is something I can update you on this afternoon, I will let you know.
How do you not have that information at your fingertips? And how is it that President Biden has not reached out to the family of Bishop Evans, this young man who was simply doing his job? So Fox News, they've got a great team along the border, and I've got to tell you, they've been doing some terrific journalism down there. They filed this report on Bishop Evans and Congressman Tony Gonzalez, cut number 10.
And it was about 8:30 a.m. Friday morning when Specialist Bishop Evans first went into the water and wasn't seen again. He was found just a couple hundred yards away from where we are right now, upriver, earlier this morning. His body finally found, and they can finally confirm that he did indeed die, presumably in a drowning. Take a look at this video you were just showing it a moment ago of the procession after his body was recovered from the river, a flag draped over him as he was saluted by Texas National Guardsmen and Texas DPS troopers as his body was removed from the river. He is now the first Texas National Guardsman to die in the Rio Grande River since Operation Lone Star was first launched in March of last year. Take a listen to what Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez had to say earlier today. This is his district where this happened.
Eagle Pass isn't a easy place to get to, but it's important. It's the epicenter of everything. It's about those that live here. It's about those that serve here. It's about those that work here. It's about Bishop Evans, who was found today. It's about his family. It's about all the families that have been impacted.
You know, Bishop Evans, that story is going to be just like Waukesha, Wisconsin, and just like the Brooklyn subway attack, where it's like they never happened. Because those deaths, those lives that were sacrificed, those people in Brooklyn who were injured, they don't matter. They don't matter to the Democrats. They don't matter to the mainstream media, because those kinds of stories do not advance their fake news narrative. And it's a terrible thing to think that the Biden administration has yet to reach out to this family of a young man who sacrificed his life saving drug smugglers. But this is where we are in America right now. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Elise Stefanik, Congressman Henry Cuellar, among those from Congress down on the border in just the past 48 hours. And Congressman Cuellar, I want you to hear what he has to say. Again, this is a Texas Democrat.
You and other Texas Democrats have shared your concerns with this White House. Are they listening?
You know, we told them, but they said they're going to continue with title, lifting the title 42. And but the thing is, yes, they're listening to the immigration activists. But my question is, who's listening to the men and women in green and in blue? And more importantly, who's listening to the border communities, the sheriffs, the landowners, the rest of the people that live on the border? Yesterday I was in Stark County. You mentioned Roma. I was in Roma where they found that two-year-old young kid. And I was in Roma, and I was with a lot of people there, not only public officials, but other folks. And none of them said, yes, go ahead and lift Title 42. None of them said, open up the border. They're very concerned because they're in the front line, and they're the ones that I think we need to listen to. We need to listen to the border communities.
So they're not listening to the Democrats who live along the border. They're not listening to the Republicans. They're not listening to Border Patrol. This administration is determined to get as many illegals across that border as possible. They want to, and they know this. They know that a million illegals is going to destabilize the country. They know that, and they want that to happen. But keep in mind something we said a couple of months back about all of this. The Democrats, they see the writing on the wall. They know that they're going to get slaughtered in the midterm elections. That's going to happen, barring some sort of a Republican meltdown. But they also know that blacks and Hispanics are beginning to depart from the Democrat plantation. And they saw that with the last presidential election where record numbers of Hispanics and blacks voted for Donald Trump. Because they realized that Trump was delivering on promises the Democrats never delivered on. What was it Trump said? He actually went and campaigned in those communities and said, hey, what do you guys have to lose? So they gave him a shot, and they were very pleased. So I suspect we're going to see even more numbers of minorities voting Republican in the midterm elections. So what is it the Democrats need? They've got to have replacement voters. That's who's coming across the border. You're looking at another election grab coming across that border. That's what's going on down there. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones here. Ruth in Georgia wants to weigh in on the Georgia races. Hey, Ruth, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. On my mind is a few comments about this poll and what I think about it, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, love your name for it, but also about what I think about Brian Kemp versus Purdue. Can I take the first one, the last one first, and
yes,
talk
ma'am.
A little bit about Brian Kemp?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
I have lived 43 years in Athens, which is his hometown. I've moved recently a few miles out of it, thank goodness, but I've followed his career from day one, from when he was running for dog catcher and everything else that he could possibly run for, repeatedly losing until he finally stumbled his way into the Secretary of State's office. And from there into the governor's office. And my opinion of both he and Purdue is that both of them have no personality much as far as charisma. So I think they're about equal there. But here's the big thing that Kemp has over Purdue for this race, and it scares me. He has the power of incumbency, and he is throwing money hand over fist to everyone he can think of, whether it be taxpayers, you know, we're getting a little bit of extra, $250 for an individual person, a little bit more, I think $500 for maybe a family. He is giving away all kinds of things, and I understand he has massive corporate type and special interest support, which Purdue is lagging behind on, and that's because of his incumbency. These are lapdogs who are sitting there licking their chops to get him back in so they can start calling in their favors. The other things I have against him is this. He has brought in industry here that was not good for the state of Georgia and was just corrupt. An SK battery plant out of Korea in Commerce, which isn't far from where I live, supposed to bring in lots of jobs. What they found out was rather than hiring U.S. citizens, they brought in Koreans and were training them surreptitiously to be welders. Doug Collins broke this when he was still in office and got it turned around. So that plant has been bad. He also brought in or is bringing in the process a Rivian plant, again, electric motor associated with. The people who live in that area despise it and are protesting it. And then the other thing, I think he's responsible for our senatorial losses because of his stupidity in nominating Kelly Loeffler to replace Isaacson. He made a laughing stock of our state by inviting everybody who wanted that to submit their resume. I couldn't believe that. But he knew who he was getting from the beginning because she made at least a $2 million contribution to his campaign. And also he listened to these advisors who told him that suburban soccer moms didn't like, you know, certain types of people. So he thought he would get a woman who would appeal to them. Yeah, if you know anything about Kelly Loeffler, if you don't, look at her background and see that she is the last woman on earth that would appeal to suburban soccer moms. They have nothing in common.
And Ruth, let me jump in because we're coming up on a hard break here. Ruth, you're spot on accurate. And that choice he made resulted in Georgia being represented by two Democrat senators. That, I mean, that's just as plain as can be. And you're spot on about the charisma. No charisma in either of those two guys. And you got to have a little bit of charisma. You got to have a lot of charisma if you're going to be running for office. And I, again, David Perdue could not win the state as in that U.S. Senate race. I don't know how he's going to be able to win it in a gubernatorial race. All right. I'm not sure what happened to Ruth, but Ruth, thank you for the call. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Elise Stefanik from New York, by the way, she's the one who replaced Liz Cheney as the leader of the caucus. Elise Stefanik, down on the southern border, cut number 13.
Thank you, Leader McCarthy, and thank you to Representative Tony Gonzalez, who works so hard every day on behalf of the communities he represents. You know, when I think back to one of my first conversations with Tony, the number one issue he talked about that was important to his district is addressing the historic border crisis. We've heard that firsthand from Border Patrol agents. I hear that from Border Patrol agents in my district along the northern border who have been transferred here over and over and over again. But make no mistake, this is not just a crisis in South Texas. This is a United States of America crisis, and it's a crisis as a result of Joe Biden and House Democrats' failed policies. This has gotten worse and worse every single month. It's the worst past year since we've been keeping track of the numbers. And we know it's only going to get significantly worse with Joe Biden's decision to lift Title 42. Today I had the opportunity, as did my colleagues, to tour with our boat Border Patrol. And the two captains of our boat were the ones that recovered the body of Bishop Evans. Think about the emotional turmoil, the emotional anguish that these Border Patrol agents are going through every day, in addition to the National Guard and their families. Our hearts break. House Republicans are unified in securing the border and providing the support we need to our Border Patrol and our communities in South Texas and across the country.
There you go, folks. This is a big deal, what's happening right now along our southern border. And when Title 42 is lifted, every single town in America becomes a border town. Fox News reporting, this is from Bradford Betts, that big tech censored Biden criticism more than 600 times over the past 2 years. They don't care if you smear Republicans. They don't care if you smear lies about Republicans. You lie about President Trump. That's okay. That's all right. You can get away with that on social media. But heaven help you if you criticize Joe Biden. And I do wonder where all of this social media is going. I mean, you've got a younger generation now that they don't even like Facebook. They're not even on Facebook. So I suspect you're going to see Facebook aging out over, I don't know, the next 5-10 years. I mean, Facebook's going to be around. But the question is, what comes after Facebook? I mean, you're looking at what, Instagram, TikTok? How long is that going to last? Or are people finally just starting to tune out? I know a lot of people who've just gotten rid of their accounts. They said, you know, yeah, we're done. We're done. I really don't need to see a photograph of somebody's meal. We're good. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Ralph Reed coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Well, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies that share our values, and that's why we support Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and they're doing something about it. They donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And folks, they've got incredible nationwide coverage. They have plans to fit any budget. And they also give veterans and our first responder heroes great discounts on top of the ones you're already going to get. And if you switch right now, use my promo code Todd, they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. All you need to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. They're going to give you that special discount and free premier activation. All you have to do is use the promo code Todd. Elon Musk, just a few moments ago, wrote something rather philosophical on Twitter. Here's what he says. The extreme antibody reaction from those who fear free speech says it all. The extreme antibody reaction from those who fear free speech says it all. You know, when you look back at our foundational freedoms, you go all the way back to the early days of our great nation and the founding of the Republic. John Adams said our nation is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. What did he mean by that? Well, there was a reason why our founding fathers decided that our first freedom should be freedom of religion. That's what separates us from everybody else. When you go back and you look at the writings of our founding fathers, you understand what the intent was. They understood that our nation was special. Our nation was unique because we bent down on one knee, not to mankind, but to Almighty God. They understood that's where our freedoms were originated. God gave us our freedoms, not mankind. When you look at the writings of William F. Buckley Jr., who could very well be and has been called the founder of the modern-day conservative movement, he understood that the fight against communism was not a political fight. It was a moral, it was a religious battle. Ronald Reagan, our great president, understood this as well. All of his writings were flavored with faith. He understood that to fight the communist, to fight the socialist, it was a religious battle. It was not a political battle. But when you start chipping away at our freedoms, when you start chipping away at religious liberty, our foundational freedom, then every single one of our other freedoms becomes jeopardized. And here we are living in a day and an age where people are afraid to speak their minds. People are afraid to say what needs to be said. They're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid of being publicly doxxed. They're afraid of being targeted. They're afraid of losing their jobs, their social status. What is it that the left says? Yes, you have free speech, but that free speech comes with a price. No, sir, that's not true. Our freedom comes from the United States Constitution, not mankind. So that's why there is such great celebration right now as Elon Musk says that he's going to open Twitter back up to what it was originally intended for, which was to be a public marketplace of thought and ideas. And you may not agree with a lot of the stuff that you see on Twitter, but that's okay. You don't have to go to those feeds. You don't have to follow those people. But this is a symptom of a much broader illness in our country, folks. And if you think this is going away, if you think the left is just going to try and stop, and the left is just going to stop going after people who have a differing opinion, you are sadly mistaken. Because they smell blood in the water. But they're horrified right now because they didn't think this was possible. That this caught them off guard. And now Elon Musk is about to do what the Republican Party was unable to do, which is actually able to restore free speech on social media. They had the opportunity. Paul Ryan had the opportunity. Paul Ryan decided not to. Mitch McConnell had the opportunity, but they took a pass. They had the opportunity during the Trump years, but Congress took a pass. And the reason is very simple. The reason why is because of the campaign dollars. All these people are getting campaign money from big tech. You think they're really going to give that up for all of us little people out there? Yeah, I don't think so. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Are you glad Elon Musk bought Twitter? Let's go to Janice, our good friend in New Orleans. All right, Miss Janice, what say you?
Yes, I'm very, very glad that Mr. Musk bought Twitter. In fact, one time I put something on Twitter, and they came after me. You know, you have to remove it. Here's my line, though. Black Lives Matter, if I had a platform, would not be on it. Now, I'm sorry. People who go out in the streets and scream, what do we want, dead cops, could never be on my platform. And when Johnny Depp said, well, when's the last time a president was assassinated? I think it's time. He would have done some jail time for that. And Madonna, I thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. Now, I know that Madonna's not going to blow up anything, and Johnny Depp wasn't going to kill anyone. But they were putting ideas into other people's heads. And when you are inciting violence towards any group, I don't care what the group is, or individual, then you should not have a place on a platform. But just for normal free speech, on Facebook one time, they called me down. I was being accused of hate speech. But the thing I didn't like about that, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, show me what I put on. Show me what it was. Because I've never said anything that I would consider to be hate speech or hateful towards anybody in the manner in which I look at it, but I guess in the manner in which they look at it, you know, from their liberal viewpoint, almost anything a conservative says can be hate speech.
And when you look at the data, I mean, it's very clear that conservatives have been targeted on Twitter and Facebook. And you know, we've talked about that a lot on this program, Ms. Janice. So, by the way, do I follow you on Twitter?
I am not sure.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have to, when I put you on hold,
you can put me back to Grace. Yeah, let me go look on my Twitter and see what my
All right. We'll put you back with Miss Grace, and we'll make sure we follow each other. I didn't know Miss Janice was on Twitter. Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun. All right.
I'm on Twitter.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Miss Janice, thank you. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll try to get your Twitter handle, and so I'll follow Miss Janice. I can't believe someone as nice and kind as Miss Janice. Well, she gets a little fiery, but by and large, she's very kind and gentle. So I'm surprised that she ran afoul of the Twitter overlords. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
We're going to try to get Ralph on the show maybe tomorrow or sometime later this week. Sorry, we got our wires crossed there. Ralph Reed. There is a story from the Daily Mirror. And this is a very strange story, Grace Baker, that you found. A man was in for a surprise while renovating his bathroom. He discovered a 60-year-old McDonald's meal hidden in the bathroom wall.
Ah, yes.
Complete with half-eaten fries.
Just the typical thing you'd find while, you know, wiping down your tub.
So this is from Illinois.
Yes.
And the guy shared photographs of the, and it's the old-school McDonald's wrappers. You know, back in the day, and our longtime listeners might remember this, they had, originally the burgers were just wrapped in like paper, mm-hmm. you know, paper wrappers. Then back in the, 70s and 80s, they had styrofoam containers. So you had a Big Mac styrofoam container, and then you had the Filet-O-Fish. I love the Filet-O-Fish. Ugh. Oh, that's my favorite.
Mm.
That's the only fish I eat, by the way. Oh, I'm serious. Well, I take that back. Captain D's. It's a great little seafood place.
So wait, you won't eat like fresh fish?
No, cannot stand fresh fish.
Salmon, shrimp.
No, shrimp. Yeah, but
crawfish.
I don't do crawfish.
Oh my goodness!
But I don't do salmon.
Oysters?
Definitely no oysters.
Oh, they're so good.
I tried. You know where
Shout
tried?
Shout out to Charleston, South Carolina.
That's right, but no, that's not where.
It was
New Orleans, the Acme Oyster Bar.
That's where I went when I was in New Orleans. Oh, now you've got me hungry for oysters. I could eat those by the platter. They were so good.
I tried one, and it slurped down and slurped right back up.
Ew.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. So
did you put? You got to put on a cracker with some lemon juice and Tabasco sauce.
Mm. No. I'd rather just give me a shrimp cocktail.
Okay.
Anyway, Rob from Illinois found the meal, ladies and gentlemen, wrapped up in an old rag with the vintage packaging containing a packet of half-finished French fries. He's pretty certain the meal, which was found in plaster, had been there since his home was built back in 1959. Says the fries were still perfectly crispy. He went on to admit he was relieved to see the paper bag only contained fries, having been worried he'd stumbled across something more sinister. So there you go. You know, they say some of those burgers can, like, you know, last forever. I had when I was cleaning out my desk at Fox News, I realized someone had given me, like, 14 years before, a moon pie.
Oh, no.
And it was hard as a rock. It was like a hockey puck.
Ooh. Tell me you didn't eat it.
No, you couldn't eat it. It was like, I mean, it was...
Break your teeth.
It was like, yeah.
Hard as a rock.
Hard as a rock.
Ugh.
No way.
Some candies can stand the test of time. Some things just throw them away, please. A Twinkie, I guess, would survive the apocalypse. And apparently McDonald's fries, which is disturbing when you think about it.
And Twinkies.
Twinkies and McDonald's fries.
But contrary to popular belief, you know, that is an urban legend, is that the Twinkies can last forever. And
yes.
That is not true.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Twinkies do not last forever.
What's their expiration, though?
Well, as soon as they get old.
Then do they get hard, like the moon
pie? Yeah, they just get nasty. Yeah,
cream isn't so creamy.
You see,
anymore.
I'm not a big fan of the Twinkie.
Me neither.
I am a Little Debbie. I'm pretty much exclusively Little Debbie.
Fair enough. I like the zebra cakes, the chocolate chip cakes, all those.
But even with Little Debbie, it's Swiss Miss Rolls.
I'm not a big fan of those.
That's it.
Not a big fan.
And the oatmeal.
Those are always good.
Those are very tasty. Good. Very
Can't
nice.
Go wrong.
I want to go back to this story, folks, out in San Francisco, where a charter school is facing a lot of controversy on either side of the issue, which I'm glad to see. This charter school sent home a teacher for 5 weeks because she wanted to use cotton as an illustration to her class. She was teaching about the Industrial Revolution and the invention of the cotton gin and why people were so glad to see the invention of the cotton gin. So she brought in some cotton so that the young people could feel the cotton, so they could see that it was prickly and how difficult it was to actually pick cotton back in the day. And so the school district, of course, apologized. They said that some minority children were offended and the teacher needed to be taught a lesson. Now, the charter school is in a very liberal area of San Francisco. They have 435 students. 47 are black, 22 are Asian, and then 84 Hispanic or Latina. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the situation there has divided the school's largely liberal community. According to some reports, you just can't, despite your best efforts, actually recreate what slavery was like. Well, that's not what they were trying to do. This is according to Hassan Kwame Jeffries, an Ohio State University history professor. Any kind of simulation, any kind of recreation, any kind of that hands-on kind of teaching just pushes you into an area of re-trauma. All right, can we just stop here for just a moment? Can we just stop for a moment? We're talking about kids that are, what, 10, 11 years old. Their moms and dads were not born during slavery. Their moms and dads were not born during the civil rights era. Their moms and dads were not born during the time of disco. Their moms and dads were not even born during the time of the 80s, which was a little weird time, but it was a lot of fun. They were born in the 1990s. So you're telling me that these kids touching a cotton ball are somehow triggered back into slave times? Come on. That's a load of hooey. All these people that are in their 20s talking about how they were oppressed growing up, that's a load of hooey. Don't believe it, folks. You got to do the math on this stuff. And it's real easy to get sucked into to these lies, but you can't. You just can't do that. One parent said, this is nuts. And they don't want to be named. Again, what did we talk about in the last segment? People are afraid to speak out there. Look, we don't care. I'm Todd Starnes. This is not some made-up name. This is who I am. You know, a lot of the talk radio hosts, they have fake names. But no, not me. Not yours truly. The parent says, I think it's insane they would treat a teacher like this and basically discard a teacher that has been so inspiring and dedicated. Exactly my point. It feels like it was a lesson in sensitivity and empathy. That's why my mind is so blown and I can't stop being angry about it. The parent observed that in other states where conversations about discrimination, racism, or white supremacy are banned because they can make white students feel guilty, the lesson here appeared to have been condemned for opposite reasons. All I can tell you, homeschool your kids. Homeschool your kids. That's the only solution to all this nonsense. That and to disband the Department of Education. Let local communities, local churches, let's get them back in the education process. That's the way it was. Back in the day, we didn't have a Department of Education when the Founding Fathers came up with America. They didn't think anything about that because children are being educated in home or at the church. That's where people were educated. And I do wonder if we would be better off if we got back to that or some system where the local community controls what's happening in the local school. And if we do that, by the way, I grew up in the 1980s during the period of the segregation or the desegregation of schools. And instead of going to your neighborhood school, you'd spend 2 hours on a bus going to another school. Yeah, you know what? Neighborhood schools where moms and dads are involved, teachers know the parents, teachers know the kids, and that's what works. But right now, folks, got to homeschool the kids. Get them out of this nonsense. I mean, geez, Lou, cotton racist? Come on. All right, folks, been a great show. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Have a great one, America.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.